The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Blake, are back, and today we are digging deeper into episode number 5 of Survivor 50. We are joined for the second week in a row by AJ. This time it is Jake O'Kane from Survivor 45. He is here to break it down and give us his thoughts on Emily, on D. We're going to talk about that zero vote finalist question Dalton Ross brought up, Rizzo's big move, this impending merge thing that we're getting, even though all the press photos are immediately showing it's definitely not a merge and it's just going to be another tribe swap. And more importantly, Angelina's boot. Blake, this is your moment. How are you feeling about Angelina going, Blake?
I think it's something where why do you bring back Angelina? And I don't know if we can be like, it was a successful season with 24 people on the show. It was a great season. It's like, if you bring back 24 people, you need to do all of them. Maybe you want to bring back 20. Maybe you make the cuts earlier on. Maybe you want to do 18 so you could focus on these people. But when you have Angelina lose Mike White and we go, let's get in confessional from Ozzy, it's like, I don't think you understand what we want to see from the fallout there. If Angelina can't get a confessional in about her number one person losing after her other number two person shoots him in the head, do you need better confessional producers? Do you need better instincts? I don't care if Angelina is so bitter she can't express herself correctly that night or that morning. We need to see that as an audience, or what is the point? And I get if it's like, okay, so Ozzy is mad at Christian. Put that in your head for one of the next two episodes, because Ozzy's going to end Christian. And it's like, cool. Tell me that then in 2 weeks from now, because you won't be able to tell Angelina's story 2 weeks from now. We're not going to do 4 days later and have Angelina do a confessional. They have never done that in the history of the show. So it is extremely frustrating to me to see somebody come back after 7 years that I'm so excited for. It's one of our favorite women contestants of all time when we did our top 50 characters. And it is something where it's like, how do you screw this up this bad? Do you just not know how to edit her? Do you not know how to interview her? Do you not care about her story? Why are you bringing her back? And that's where I think the frustration is, because we can do the whole, it's kind of on Angelina. She became a deeper person. She doesn't care as much. Or she, all this survivor trauma that everyone had, she realized her survivor trauma wasn't worth it and just became the better person and gave her jacket away. It's like, cool. Let's have this through line of survivor trauma. Let's at least pay off. Why is Angelina on the show if you're not going to ask her a goddamn question at all?
Jake, welcome to the podcast, by the way, buddy.
I'm so happy to be back here. And honestly, this out of all the two boots that could have happened, this is the probably second worst group of two that could have been booted tonight, at least for me. Obviously, I'm rooting for my girls, D and Emily, spot for 45. But Charlie and I, like, Charlie's from around here. I was really bummed to see him go. And Angelina is a god amongst zero vote finalists. So I was really bummed about that. The Angelina, to piggyback off what you were saying, Blake, it's like, couldn't we have just given her like a little bit more? I feel like out of more than anyone else, like maybe even more than Cherie, she was the biggest female lock to be on this season. You know, you might have been concerned, oh, like, is Cherie done? Is she coming back for 50? Everyone knew as soon as they were going as soon as old school survivors brought up, Angelina is coming back. And then she comes back and we don't get enough from her. You know what I mean? It's just such a bummer, because you know she was spitting some good stuff out there in confessional. And so it's sad to see her go so early, and it's sad that she didn't get more. I think 24 people was too much, in my opinion. And then you're going to have a couple different instances of situations like Angelina.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I want to throw this up. Jake and his Zach Brown era from John Millsap here. That's Jake with the backwards hat and the beard going on right now for anybody who's only listening. I agree with both of you on this. It's going to be interesting as we dive into the edit. I know, Jake, we were texting a little bit beforehand, just, you know, kind of figure out what the conversation was going to be here and all of that. Before we dive into that, though, Jake, I want to know, obviously, like you said, this is your worst case scenario. How are you feeling, though, about the season overall so far? Are you okay with how they've done this, where it's been a lot of single boots, then a double boot? Now it looks like this week there's going to be a triple boot, God forbid. How are you feeling about what we're getting, trying to put aside Angelina kind of as the goddess amongst zero vote finalists, just getting really nothing this season?
I I think it's been really good. All things considered, I've really enjoyed watching it, and it's been a lot of fun. And it's just such a breath of fresh air after, you know, a slog of just so many seasons of only new players minus Bruce. But it's been really good. But yeah, I'm still bummed about the boots. In any one of these returning seasons, you're going to lose people that you want to see early. It's just a matter of fact. But I think it's been good, and it's been such a breath of fresh air. I think, you know, it's exceeding 48 and 49 for me so far, no doubt. You know, I think it's been really solid so far.
What about 45?
No, absolutely not. 45 is amazing.
I just wanted to make sure. And what are you thinking about Emily and D? Emily, I called Emily chaotic in the episode yesterday, and people one commenter like jumped all over me and was like, how can this be chaotic? But I'm seeing a chaotic Emily. What are you seeing?
I'd like to push back on that, Phil.
Okay. And, in the comments, just as a fake.
That was me. Yes, that was me. That was my burner account. Something that I really love about Emily, and I think it was understated during Survivor 45, and I see it taking place again here this season. Angelina did exit press today, where she gave props to Emily. She felt like Emily was running that beach. Emily might not be running the beach, but I feel like Emily does a really good job at massaging the people who are on the bottom of the tribe. She did a really good job about that with me. And even you hearing Ozzy in confessional in the episode say, Emily was trying to let me know without letting me know. And he doesn't feel scorned by her, you know, or harmed by her. Like, and she does a really good job. Like it when I was in my position on the bottom for the majority of the post-merge in our game, I was like, I never really want to go after Emily. She's like the one person who I feel like I might be able to have a solid inroads with. I felt like, you know, I got the most respect from her while I was on the bottom and the most ability to talk through game. So in a situation like you see me on Survivor 45, Drew and I get in an argument. It felt very, you know, poor man's Aussie to Christian, you know, in Survivor 45. But I can kind of see the dynamics and Emily being like, oh, I don't want my friends to fight, but she does a really good job at massaging the bottom, and I don't think we see enough of that, and people aren't talking about it. I think, you know, if someone's going to go take a shot at that kind of group after the merge, it's not going to be Emily, and that's because of the way she's playing and the things that people saying about her being chaotic, talking about Ozzy and telling him the plan and stuff. She's trying to still hold on to Ozzy a little bit, you know, whereas Christian is all right taking more of that scorn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, that's all definitely a fair point. Blake, what are you thinking about Emily right now?
I'm not trying to sour this mood, but I'm like, is Emily probably one of the worst allies to have on an all-star season? Of like, she is going to bring the chaos, but she is better at massaging everyone. So whenever they go after somebody, it's not going to be Emily first. It's going to be like, let's knock out Christian. And like, Emily and Christian have been together, and Christian has been like, she told all my stuff. That kind of sucks. If Ozzy and Emily are a duo, are they going to go after Ozzy or Emily first? And it's like, Emily is one of those people who, yes, her mysteriousness is working out well because we don't have five of these on this beach. But I feel like if I was in an original eight with Emily, it's like, we either need to get Emily out now or just go ahead and write all of our death sentences, because we're all going to go out at like eighth place whenever she squirms through and we're screwed. Because I feel like Emily is a good ally, but whenever it comes push to shove, you're like, I'm going home before Emily. And like, I think it's bad maneuvering for people that are like, I want to attach my wagon to Emily just because there is that chaotic energy that's going to attract some like cannon fire.
Emily will cut you if she thinks it's the best thing for her, even if you're aligned with her. And that's what happened with Angelina here, right? Like Angelina and her had that moment by the fire in episode 4. They were all so close. They're all doing this great stuff. And like John is saying in the comments here, Angelina said Emily was the reason she was okay with this plan about Stephanie last night. And she's the best liar in the game. And Emily made Angelina feel good. And what made more sense for Emily's game was getting rid of Angelina. So she got rid of Angelina. I don't know. I mean, Jake, I thought she would know that you care deeply about Angelina and she would try to help you out a little bit there. Clearly no 45 love, but I mean, this is, look, it's Emily's been to every tribal council, her, mm-hmm. Christian, Ozzy, obviously they can't go to both last night, but they've been to a tribal council in every episode. I mean, she's getting her feet under her. There's something about Emily that just attracts tribal council. And when she goes, you never know what's going to happen. Sabaya, what's up?
I mean, look, the Sabaya vote, Sabaya kind of played herself out of the game a little bit there. I think there was a lot of, I mean, Lulu, you're not going to recreate Lulu in the mess that that was in the great personalities that were on that tribe. I think the idea that Emily is chaotic, like everyone's used the term chaotic about Emily, you know, but I do think there's like a method to the perceived madness, you know, and I think she's going to be in a really good spot coming up to emerge right now.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree. And we wanted to bring this up to you and Brandon Don, and I hope you're listening. Blake and I wanted to mention this to you. They're supposed to merge next week. So that means that on season 47, Brandon Donlan would have made the merge if they merged the same number as they did here in season 50. So I just wanted Brandon to know that if he was on 50, he makes the merge. It's right there.
I mean, you know, I always said if Brandon Donlan hits a merge, it's over for everyone else. You know? So clearly, had Brandon Donlan been on Survivor 50, he would be the winner of Survivor 50.
Yeah, he would have been on the tribe with Jonathan, or not Jonathan now. Who hasn't gone to a tribal? Coach Colby, that would have been Brandon. He would have been in there with the bros, and he would have been with the Tidewalker, and he would have been working his way through.
What would Brandon's coach name be?
What would
Brandon's coach name be?
It would – I don't even know, man.
This is first.
You see, Brandon, I just have this rock, and I keep trying to move it, and it's not going anywhere. And I'm gonna keep pushing the rock. I'm having a great time doing it, cracking jokes, going up the mountain or whatever. You know, it's a nice rock at the end of the day, pretty smooth. It's not gonna cut you or anything like that.
I mean, look, Brandon, you're Sisyphus now in Coach's Little Alliance. Not Japanese, but hey, you're there, and it sounds cool. So, oh God, all right, I love that. I just wanted to bring that up. So let's talk about this edit, because we'll get into D in a second here. But let's talk about this edit, because this has been one of the biggest conversations coming around, especially with Angelina's exit press. She's been talking a lot about how the women are being overshadowed on this season. And we had a comment earlier, and it was from this man right here, Dakaris. Right here, he says, I think they need new producers and get confessionals from women. But this is the person who had said that all of the women on this season are purple, with the exception of Aubrey. She's the only one with a story. And I always have to push back on the purple thing. And this is a big pet peeve of mine, and I just have to say this. Purple Kelly, I forget the exact number of episodes, but she had one confessional, I think, in the first 11 episodes of Survivor Nicaragua. That's where the term purple came from, okay? Zoe, way back in Marquesas, was purple. People were then retroactively able to go back and say, that's what purple is. But Purple Kelly really invented purpling because of how bad her edit was. One confessional, 11 episodes. And there were episodes that she legitimately wasn't on screen.
Plus, there was two Kellys.
Yes.
So to make them different, it was regular Kelly and purple Kelly.
Yeah. And so the term purple is really like you're getting just dominated by the edit. People throw this word around now all the time. Tiffany, in my opinion, is purpled on this season so far. I think that one is fair. Yeah. Chrissy, I can't even say Chrissy's purple because we know the story of Chrissy. Chrissy's story was... starts off on a tribe. That tribe is not getting along with her. She changes. She gets her backstory. We hear all that. If you're purpled, we don't know anything personally about you. We don't get that emotion, okay? Genevieve has 17 confessionals and hasn't gone to a tribal. Emily has 19, which is the third most on the season, okay? Like, Aubrey has 11, hasn't gone to a tribal. Steph has 11. And yeah, like there are people here who have zero confessional episodes, but getting a zero confessional episode does not mean you're purple. That would mean Rick Devins is purple. Are you guys going to tell me Rick Devins hasn't been on this season? That would be crazy. So I just have to push back on purple, although I do understand the annoyance that the women are being under-edited, especially Tiffany, who is purple, and Chrissy, who is definitely being under-edited. But Chrissy, I don't think, is quite purple. But I wanted to see where you all weigh in on this and kind of have this conversation about, are we surprised at the people who aren't getting the edits and the people who are getting the edits? Or is this kind of how we should have expected it to go when the cast was announced in the first place?
I mean, I think 24 people, we were always going to have people who are significantly under edited. Obviously, I agree with the purple terminology. It's not necessarily used. It shouldn't be used just for anyone who's under edited. And, you know, even players like, you know, going, it's like, oh, who's going to get purpled? You know, who's getting purpled? But I think, you know, this is 24 players with way too much people, and it sucks because so many people out there are amazing. Like, you know, even if you want to say Chrissy's being under-edited, it's like Chrissy was like the main character of her season other than Ben. And now coming in here, I mean, she has some stuff going on, and like based on like exit interviews and stuff like that, like I'm hearing that there was some beef on early Kahlo between her and D that we just entirely missed out on. It's very unfortunate, especially like, you know, you can make the argument that like Tiffany has not been to a tribal council and has been on, has been purpled. I think, you know, for these people like D and Camilla, it's like they've gone to a tribal now and engaged in a pretty big vote out. Like, I think, you know, Angelina, like if you had told me that the purple tribe was going to go back to tribal, I had a pretty good idea. I'm like, I feel like this is probably going to be Angelina. But with Charlie going, I feel like that's a big shock. And like with them being under edited, it makes it a little more confusing to as to why it happened for the viewer. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunate.
Because they were the deciding factors. Absolutely. Camilla and D were the deciding factor. And I did feel like we got Camilla and D saying what they wanted to do in this episode. And this was the first tribal either one of them had gone to. And I felt like we did get their story. I mean, Blake, you're shaking your head. You disagree.
I'm shaking my head because there's going to be people in this 17 person merge fest where it's like, grab your torch for the first time. And Emily's going to write down her like sixth vote of the season. Council. You're like, Jesus. I've always hated that of like, I do think my brain is always structure gameplay, like, how the show has been structured. I thought there would be double boots from literally the first episode.
And that was my prediction as well.
I feel like we could have gotten cycled through a little bit more of, yes, we lost Kyle because his foot hurt. But if his foot hadn't hurt, I guess that is kind of like them going to tribal for purple. That's why Genevieve has more confessionals, because she's talking about Kyle's foot. But what I'm trying to say is, if we had doubles up until this point, we'd have a more like reason to talk to everybody. We would have all this kind of stuff, and we wouldn't be like, here's a huge just bomb drop on this episode that's about to come up and knock three people out. Because I think in the past when we've purpled people, I think there was that woman in Millennials versus Gen X where she drew the rock and she got rocked out, but her whole story was way under edited because they were like, we don't want to give her a big edit because if people fall in love with her and she gets rocked out, it'll be like, oh crap, that sucked. Also, yeah. Is Phil with us or did he?
Phil just texted me, his computer crashed, so we'll be rocking.
Oh, hell yeah. So yeah, that's what I'm trying to say is like, are we just about to run into three people that get knocked out at whatever's about to happen? Everyone's assuming it's a triple boot because it's 2 hours long and because
I think it'll be a triple boot.
So are all the triple boots just the people that have gotten zero confessionals? And that's kind of like when you're not editing them, you are kind of spoiling the show because you're like, this is all I can really expect to happen because why are these stories going nowhere?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially with this kind of thing coming up, I feel like there's a good chance of at least two of the votes probably being people who have been under edited. That would be my guess, because I think the fans probably are going to be upset. I mean, I imagine they're going to probably divide the. Do we think it's going to be a boot and then like a double tribal, or do we think it's going to they're doing something else?
I think what people have numbers wise, what's the easiest way to divide by three? Not 17, not 16, but then it would be 15. So how does that work? Well, we introduced Exile Island in episode one, and then we haven't talked about it since. And that original Exile Island had two people on it. So if 17 people, two people get exiled and then break off into fives and like a battle royale type thing.
I don't like that. Like going,
I don't think anybody likes it.
There's no movement at five. Like that's just like who, like, we're going to have three people swap screwed in one episode, potentially. You know what I mean? Like, that's insane. I don't know. I'm not a big – we'll see what happens. But, yeah, Phil, I was just saying when you were off that I think two of the people who get booted next week are likely going to be people who've been under-edited so far.
Yeah. I think so too. And sorry about that. I mean, as everybody now knows, I mean, this is the running joke of this. I'm moving and I don't want to buy a new computer, a new like desktop before I move. Cause why do I want to move a brand new computer?
Right.
And this computer is like, literally like, dude, stop, please kill me. I can't do it anymore. But I agree with you, Jake. That's probably what's going to happen. I think that's the thing that people are forgetting as we're watching this season is that there's going to be people where the story is going to make sense for them to have not gotten a big edit on this season. I know it's going to still frustrate people, but it's going to make sense. And I know some people were complaining in some of the comments. I like to do my, you know, all the fun is in the comment section, right? Over on like Instagram and all that. People post up and people were kind of talking about how, well, Colby and Coach haven't gone to tribals. So why are they getting bigger edits?
Yeah.
Well, Colby and Coach are getting bigger edits because they're two of the most popular people to ever play the show in the history of the game. Like Colby literally was the most popular player on the most watched season of the show. And Coach is probably the most iconic character in the history of the show other than Rupert. And so those two are going to get their screen time. And like, sorry for Tiffany and Chrissy, but Tiffany barely scraped onto the season in the first place. And so if they have to choose between showing the general audience Coach and Colby or Tiffany, they're going to pick Coach and Colby every single time. And that's just how it is.
I get that. But like, I mean, I will say like the Coach thing, I understand the Colby thing. It's like after you say Colby's back, you know, and not that Colby hasn't been great. Actually, I've been very impressed with how much I've enjoyed Colby on this season. Colby was one of the people where I'm like, why are we doing this if Jerry's not here? Like, he was one, but I've been very happy to see him and it's been enjoyable watching him. But I think in regards to Tiffany, she's got good confessionals. She was always good at doing good confessionals. Like, it is, I wish we could get just like a little bit more. Like, if something's going down and people are talking about like Coach or whatever, it's like, why is if Tiffany doesn't have a big impact on the overall game, okay, but it's like, why can't we give her the stuff of explaining what's going on? You know what I mean? Like more comments on like, oh, here's what the reward is, or we're bumped, like things like that, that could be anyone and aren't necessarily tied to one person.
I completely agree with you. But when this season started, like when I saw the cast announced, mm-hmm. I pretty much said, if Tiffany doesn't win the season, Tiffany's going to be super under edited. Like it's just going to happen. Yeah. 24 people. They don't know how to edit a 24 person cast.
No.
And like, I hate using this word, but like,
They literally don't know. It's not that we think they're bad at it. They literally don't know because it's never existed.
It's never existed for them. And so I think that's it's like Tiffany's at the point where to the general audience, she's expendable in this cast. So to the editor, she's expendable in this cast. And they would rather give the one-off confessionals about the general stuff going on to Colby or to Coach or to Joe. And like, I know that that's unfortunate to some people, yeah. But they're making the TV show the way they want to make it. And people will come and say, well, Chrissy was the most popular player on her season. Chrissy was the most popular player on one of the least popular seasons in the history of the show. And I think that's also having an impact right now, too. Angelina, that blows my mind. But I think it's because she was so different from what they got the first time. But like, they're still editing a lot of people into the show that they don't need to. Genevieve hasn't gone to a tribal. Aubrey hasn't gone to a tribal.
Brown hasn't gone to a tribal.
Fun of the Zach Brown thing, but Zach last night was just a normal Survivor episode. It was just a normal Survivor episode, and they just decided, Chrissy and Tiffany, you're not a part of the story. And I think you're right, Jake. Maybe Chrissy or Tiffany's going this week, and that's why they almost are like, well, we don't want the audience to fall too in love with them because they're going to get screwed.
Also, like with double tribal, 90 minutes, you are going to cut off that last like 50 to the next 8:50 to 9:30 is tribal. And I think that was going to be the problem with doubles every time is you don't get to know the cast. So maybe that's why we're like, let's breathe a little bit and not do doubles from the beginning. But then there's still people that we still haven't talked to that much.
Yeah. Jake, what were you going to say? Do you have that thought still?
No, I lost the thought. But okay. I think double boots would have been better from the beginning. You know what I mean? That way it feels like there's so many people still in the game and we're just like poo-pooing a lot of it versus like if the first five episodes of double boots would be in a better spot, I think. And I think the audience would be more comfortable with maybe some people getting reduced edits.
And I think that the edits would be bigger because right now you'd be down to 14 or 13 or 12 rather than being at 17 still. And I think that, you know, people are saying with this episode coming up, we can see the there's three colors. There's teal, there's orange, there's purple. So they're claiming it's a merge. It's not a merge. It's another tribe swap just with two people disappearing, it seems like. And so it seems like it's going to be 5-5-5. If it is a triple boot, like, I would rather double boots the entire pre-merge and I get less episodes of certain people than, oh, like, because at least then it's, well, you didn't win the challenge, so you lost the challenge. So I understand that. Yeah. Whereas this is going to be throw it at the wall. Here's three random groups of five. Now try to survive that. And that to me is way less satisfying, especially if we lose somebody big here. Like, what if we do lose Suri here? What if we lose Coach here? What if we lose Genevieve here, who's probably the most popular of the new era players playing that's still in the game? Nobody wants that.
And it's a 2-hour episode, but 30 minutes of it is Jimmy Fallon or Mr. Beast.
That's not true. That's not happening this week.
Which one? It's going to be one or the other. It's like the merge. We have said the word Jimmy Fallon, and we've seen the Mr. Beast thing. And I think this kind of sucked because it kind of sucked if you're like, is Christian going to go home or is it Angelina? It's like, well, we saw Christian say, is Jimmy Fallon going to have a problem in the initial thing? Why are you spoiling six episodes in now? And then, or it's five episodes in. And then I think the only person that would be excited to see Mr. Beast that day is Rizzo going, ah, and it's like Rizzo's not going home against Charlie unless you think Charlie thinks that Mr. Beast wrote a Taylor Swift song or something. Like that was a little frustrating being like, if I am a diehard Survivor fan that has watched every podcast and looked at every frame of that initial thing, last night was not suspenseful and it kind of sucked.
Yeah. I didn't think of the Jimmy Fallon thing being in the preview for the season, but yeah, that definitely would have taken me out of it. I mean, I felt like the, no disrespect to Angelina, but like, I felt like that one was pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. That felt very straightforward to me. I do
imagine if she had worked her way out and won the season, we'd all be like, what the hell?
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. Christian's at Ponderosa, a Jimmy Fallon idol or like whatever it is. Got you guys.
Jimmy Fallon, you can use his idol from Ponderosa to come back in the game. Christian wins after getting voted out three times.
And I do think that that's a problem with people like the three of us, because we dissect everything. And like, I had forgotten Christian said the Jimmy Fallon thing too, because I watched the preview once, thought that preview stunk, and then waited for the epic preview that came out later. Yeah. And that one was amazing. But like when they say Jimmy Fallon, yeah, I see that. And then I forget. And then they turn around and you are trying to say, well, it could be this person. That's not us spoiling that Christian doesn't go. That's CBS spoiling their own show. Like, we're telling you what CBS put in the trailer for their season. Like, you might be sitting here going, oh, well, that takes the drama away. Yeah, it takes the drama away, but it's not us who's taking the drama away. Like, it's been taken away. We're just reminding you what happened.
I have a question for Jake, because yeah. I love this theme that we're doing for Survivor 50 of old wounds are like, yeah, either we repaired them or they're still too fresh. And last night we got an introduction of a new era thought of this, of it hasn't been 17 years since my last season. It was probably 2 years ago. And Charlie is telling Tribal Council, and other people are like, yep, that makes sense. Rizzo hasn't been able to see himself on TV. You don't know how bad you actually played because you don't get to see the confessionals of the other people rolling their eyes. Was that something you personally experienced when you went home and watched your season of like, damn, I played worse, I played better, or there was somebody I thought I had on a hook and they would never even saw the worm I had?
No, I mean, I feel like with the, honestly, in my opinion, I think watching the show, and I got a good edit, like I got a really good edit my season. I think watching the show is rougher than actually playing it. So like, I think Rizzo's kind of, yeah, he doesn't get that perspective, but he also doesn't have as much of the baggage that goes along with watching the show. And obviously, if Rizzo was able to watch it, I mean, he got a pretty good edit. And, like, people mm-hmm. were, you know, I think people overall enjoyed Rizzo's shenanigans with the idol. But I think he's almost a little detached from any kind of, you know, reading comments and people actually talking shit about him. You know what I mean? So that's kind of nice versus, you know, I don't know how big of a factor like the Charlie and Maria thing actually impacted Charlie's gameplay out there. I was listening to Exit interviews earlier today and he's saying that, you know, there was reasons and like he made a point that, you know, Rizzo was the only original Vatu. So like that kind of made sense logically there. But, you know, I think your former season is definitely going to like weigh on you.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, you see that with D. Like D played a pretty, you know, she played a great game in Survivor 45 and it was pretty straightforward march down the line until she had to, you know, break off with the Emily vote and those kind of shenanigans towards the end. And she seems like she's kind of deviating from that because maybe she wants to mix it up or whatever. But I think, you know, this should be a lesson to people going in future seasons. You got to consider people's traumas here, you know, like we saw it with Coach and Ozzy episode one, you know, so it's super.
Did you just say D has to deviate?
She is deviating a little bit. Deviating. Thank you. That was good. I'll give you that. I mean, she is. And for whatever reason, she feels she needs to mix it up and she can't play the exact same game. It's, I don't know. I'm bummed to see Charlie go. I really am. And I really hope this move works out for D.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because if this doesn't work out for D, as the edit is kind of suggesting, based on the fact that she has a confessional to Jonathan saying, wouldn't it suck if we let Cerie slip by and then she blindsided us later? It's like, you can see like the stare at the camera, like, you get it? You heard that? You know, they haven't repeated it as many times as they repeated that Charlie was bothered by Maria, but yeah. Yeah, I feel like the D situation, the that little
Sunny
line
in Philadelphia music there, just played somewhere. Yeah.
It did. Yeah, the end of Curb, right? Dun, 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 dun. Like, that's what I'm hearing in my head. Yeah.
I mean, I love the alliance, though. The alliance is fun of Rizzo and the girls.
Yeah.
That's great. That's, I mean, it's going to be cinema.
Although, yeah. I will say this. The whole, like, Rizzo dancing with Soph, Liz God, and Savannah that was on TikTok, I could go on my whole life without that. You know, like, I'm all about Rizzo not being a guy's guy and being a girl's guy. But, you know, I don't need to watch him. I watched that, and I was like, man, now I can't root for Rizzo anymore. It's so sad.
About not being a casual fan is, like, oh, Rizzo rented out a movie show. Like, you've been dealing that with spoilers forever from other, like, whenever RuPaul's Drag Race, there's a certain like venue where the people that lose always go hang out in Chicago, and it's like that hasn't been a thing, but now Gen Z is like, oh, I'm gonna make sure everyone sees the cinema and literally a movie theater. It's like, poor Charlie needs to like pretend and like do his own movie theater in his hometown.
Oh man, I think Rizzo's really funny. I think he's really funny. It's like odd not to laugh when he's saying stuff. You know, I've enjoyed him.
Yeah,
as bummed as I am about his move.
I mean, look, I enjoy Rizzo. I just, you know, he's doing TikTok dances now. I'm like, nah, man, I'm out. I can't root for you now. Now I hope to re-blindside you so bad.
Oh my god,
that's what you expect. He's like the Gen Z representation, yeah, on the show. He's like the poster boy Gen Z. Cinema, like, what, I don't know, his other shit that he's saying. I think it's hilarious, but, you know, I think it's he plays a funny heel, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he is polarizing. He's a lot more polarizing than I ever thought he would be. I mean, the way the comments and people talk about him, like, on the internet and everything, some people love him and some people want him to just fail so badly. It's fascinating.
I think also to Rizzo's credit, I think as soon as we heard that 49 players were going to be on 50, everyone's like, that's dumb, blah, 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 blah. Rizzo's deserves to be here. Yeah. It's awesome, you know?
There's one other thing that pops into my head about what's happened recently, because I was Team Christian, and this episode last night was like, oh, I kind of get what Mike White was saying of, like, it seems like some people on this season have crowdsourced a personality or are going too over the top. And I think that's happened a couple times where it's like, we wanted to see more from Angelina, but if she's doing her I'm gonna rice negotiations on the first welcome mat, and now it's time for her to give a jacket, like, was that a genuine jacket give, Or is that something that I thought about being back on Survivor for 7 years and I got to give a jacket away if I get voted out? So my thought process for you, you put an idol in your crotch, but it's not like you're thinking your second time that you play, you're like, I got to have 3 crotch idols. Like, you're just going to play yourself when you get out there. Or do you think there's some, like, the fans want this, so I have to play it up?
Yeah, no, if I go on Survivor again, I'm not going to be shoving an idol up my ass, so don't worry about that.
Literally the only place that I could think of to go to.
You were all thinking it, let's be honest. No, I'm not. I'm going to avoid doing that. Spoilers for whatever season I return for, if that happens. I mean, like, I get, like, you get so much, like, dopamine from, like, seeing yourself. Like, that's cool, right? Like, it's, oh, shit, I'm on Survivor. That's sick. And then, like, to get the dopamine hit of, like, oh, shit, people like when I do that. Okay, noted. You know what I mean? So, like, I understand that. People are going back to that dopamine hit. Survivor's almost like a drug. I like to tell people it's, like, once you kind of, like, get that, like, itch, it's, like, you want to recreate that. So I think when, like, people go in there and, like, you brought up Angelina with the jacket, like, yeah, she's looking for that dopamine hit again. And I get, like, not everyone likes that, but I don't know how you work it out so that people don't do that.
I don't think you can. I mean, coach is saying, I'm coming up with better names this time. This isn't Dungeons and Dragons. This is the Tidewalker and the Oak Barrel Man or whatever the hell it was. Like
Stone Monk or whatever.
Stone Monk. Yeah, I'm sitting here and I sound
like they're directly from Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, and I have, like, Barrel of Monks Brewery in my fridge right now. Like, what are we talking about? Like, so I just feel like, you know, people, they lean in. They lean in extra hard. I mean, it's not hard to realize what's playing. And I mean, the story producers are also telling you, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And that's going to lead to what you're talking about. I mean, I will say with the Charlie thing, I thought that it was being played up by the edit big time. But then when he gets up there and he says, Rizzo, this one thing that you told me is why you're going home. I'm like, oh, wow. So this was really what Charlie was thinking, at least to more of an extent. Because if you're choosing to say that in your voting confessional, I mean, you don't get a very long voting confessional, right?
I mean, you can talk however long you want up there. You know, I've never been rushed off. I mean, I've never
had. How long did you stand up? That was your longest one.
I don't even remember, like, everything I said up there. You know what I mean? But I wasn't, like,
wondering how I got to this point.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know. Like, you know what's going to be – like, you know, like, if Charlie's leading the blind side against Rizzo and he feels like he's choosing that, like – making that decision for his alliance, like, he knows that his voting confessional is probably going to get shown. You know what I mean? So, and if he knows, like, the editors, like that, it's like, you know, I mean, I'm like, Rizzo's was long too. You know what I mean? Like, he knows he's, like, cheeky and he's going to drop all the Charlie, Taylor Swift songs, you know? So, like, I don't know. I don't blame either one of them for the, and I don't think that that was the majority reason of why Charlie was going after Rizzo. I think Rizzo looked like low-hanging fruit to him, and I think that's why he went that direction.
We got this from Ryan Chan. Will Jake recreate breaking a challenge if he plays again? So now, Jake, you can't just, like, break it. You have to, like, go and, like, tear one down, you know?
Yeah, so I'm actually probably going to try it. So I've thought about this, right? And I'm probably I'm probably going to, like, take – what's the challenge where preferably when there's a sandbag, I just kind of want to take, like, one of those really heavy sandbags and just throw it at something that it shouldn't be thrown at. You know what I mean? Like, I want to use a tool this time, not necessarily just my feet.
You got to get you got to win one of the rewards that's, oh, here's some supplies to build your shelter. Here's, like, an axe or a saw. And you just go out there while everybody's hanging on. You fall out first and then just chop somebody down that you don't like, you know?
If I go back out there, you know John Kerhofer is going to be out there with, like, a welding mask and, like, fucking long shorts.
It's on site, John Kerhofer.
No, you know, it's actually funny. When Boston had the Survivor Cafe, he was there for one of the nights, so we ended up talking, and he loved it. He was like, dude, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. It proved to him that it could be broken. It's been a while since Colby snapped it over his neck. Or was that Scoopin'? Scoopin' snapped it over his neck, whichever one did it in Australia.
Yeah, they snapped over his neck. Who else broke in a challenge? Owen broke his – it didn't matter because the challenge was over, but Owen broke his little stick thing in the final. challenge. So it was like bent. I guess he could have kept going, but that would have been difficult. But I'm not alone in this.
Won't get that eBay money for charity anytime soon.
Those bungee put shit in Fiji. No, I'm kidding.
What?
Owen's another zero vote finalist. Is it time to do zero vote finalists?
Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Yeah, Jake, you wanted to talk about Dalton Ross put out the question yesterday of who is the best zero vote finalist. Yeah. And this has nothing to do with Survivor 50 because now Angelina's gone. But I said it was Michelle from Winners at War, and you said hard agree. And I don't know if that was just because you wanted to make sure the podcast didn't get canceled, if you just like really love being on here or what it was, but I was impressed.
I think it is Michelle. And I think Steve, so like, I think the conversation should be between Michelle and Steven. And if you're going to bring up someone from New Era, it's Carolyn, I think, inevitably. Personally, I think Michelle, just based on the fact that Michelle has won before, that number one. And then number two, Michelle being the person who repeatedly says we need to get out the person who wins. And maybe this is speaking because I too did that a couple times. I'm going to give Michelle a lot of credit there. And not that Steven didn't play an amazing game. And Steven is definitely, if it's not Michelle, it is Steven, I feel like, for zero finalists.
I got a comment when I said that it was Michelle. I got a comment that said, well, Steven would have beaten Aaron, but Michelle probably doesn't beat Sarah. And I love Aaron with two N's, but if you're comparing Aaron and Sarah, what world are we living in right now? Like, yeah. Sarah's a winner. Aaron's probably a goat against anybody in that final four.
Mm.
So I love Aaron. I mean, I think Aaron's somebody who absolutely should have played Survivor again. I think her Agreed. And Taj and Sierra all kind of got screwed, never getting called back. Although Sierra did, she just couldn't play again. But like when I look at this, and I know some people are saying, Russell, if you're asking me who's the best zero vote finalist, I'm just looking at the season that they played where they got zero votes. And it has to be Steven or Michelle. There's nobody yeah. else, because Russell's game in Heroes Villains sucks. He saves Parvati yeah. for long enough, and then he never is going to get any jury votes because he's mean to everybody. And I think Michelle, the whole game, she is saying, you guys are dumb. You guys are dumb. And Nick doesn't listen to her. Jeremy doesn't listen to her. Mm-hmm. Ben doesn't listen. Nobody wants to listen to Michelle the entire season. And that's why she ends up getting zero votes. Plus, a lot of people have said that they probably would have voted for her, but they were worried about the split thing and Natalie potentially winning. So, you know, that's the world that we live in. I'm okay with Steven getting it, but I think that if you're just looking at one season and M. Smith says Carolyn, I think Carolyn's good. I just, you know, I think that she's more of a character than a player on that season. She has some good moments, but I don't think that she hits the level of Michelle or Steven.
I mean, I think, well, if we agree that Michelle and Steven are one and two, Carolyn's, I think, number three for me.
Blake, who's three for you?
Albert Destrade, bro. I think he's so sick. The fact that like he's one of the OGs and his Instagram thing for a decade has been no votes or is it zero votes or no votes?
Yeah, something like that.
It's one of the most like I think I've never gotten zero votes, but I think it is something that would, if I made it to the end, there's no way I win $1 million. I would be a zero vote finalist. That is just who I am as a person. I get it. I probably lose a Brandon Donlan range though, but it's something where I like the humility to make the joke first instead of ever being like, I probably could have taken some votes off of Sophie and coach if this happens. And I think just being that presence, and I've talked to him in person once, right, Phil? Wasn't he there once at one of those? And he
Albert's
was just
great.
He's so fun.
Albert reached out to me after 45 and he was very kind.
Like he's a great probably guy. The foreman of the zero vote finalist Instagram or whatever you guys have. But I like Albert. Bring him back.
Yeah. Albert's a good one. Why not Jake? That's what I want to know.
Oh, Jake. Yeah, humble? Jake.
Like, are you just being humble? I feel like you played.
Whoa, Jake, why didn't you get out D? What happened, bro? Yeah. Like, are you excited that D could maybe get her torch snuffed, or are you hoping she wins again?
I would like to. My preference is that Emily or D wins. Okay. That is my preference. I'm rooting for them.
But
because if D wins, that makes my loss so much less bad.
That is true.
I saw the twinkle in your eye when you saw her win a second time.
Yeah. Yeah, now all of a sudden everybody's looking at Jake going, would Jake win 7-0 against JT and Token Chains? Is that what would have happened? You know? And I laughed because somebody had commented that they were talking about like Aubrey's gotten a confessional in every episode. And they were like, well, if Aubrey wins, that just proves that like that puts the argument between Michelle and Aubrey to bed. And I'm like, no, that just proves how good Michelle was. And Michelle beat Aubrey, who then comes and wins 50. Like, what are we talking about? That doesn't mean that Aubrey's better. Aubrey lost to Michelle. That's how good Michelle is. Anyway,
we're getting prime Aubrey though this time around for 50.
Yeah. Aubrey's been fun to watch this season. I like angry Aubrey.
Angry Aubrey's great.
Aubrey's upset a little bit and on the outs. I think she's like very interesting and entertaining when that's going on.
What I'm curious about, Kyle had said in his first, when he got voted out, he said that Aubrey probably would have been the first boot from that tribe. And I wonder if she would have been booted from this second tribe or if they would have tried to pile the votes on her, because it looked like when she went and talked to coach was being receptive to it. But now knowing that there's going to be a tribe swap, maybe that's for the story that comes down the line, not necessarily the story that was in last night's episode, because I couldn't get a feel for if they were actually teaming up with Genevieve or if everybody was teaming up with Aubrey. And then last night almost made me feel like Aubrey, Coach, Colby, Joe, Tiffany could have all just teamed up against Genevieve. I was like, that doesn't make sense with everybody else's story. So now I'm thinking it might just be set up for the future.
Mm. I will say, Coach, very impressive.
Ooh,
Coach, elaborate. Coach is just able to like pad himself with allies, and like I don't feel like if people are going to take a shot at that big that group, Coach isn't going to be the first one out. Like I think Coach has a really solid social game that isn't really talked about that much. Like, I when you see him talking to Joe, Joe's not going against Coach anytime soon. And Colby might not appreciate all the nicknames or whatever, but I don't think Colby's going against Coach anytime soon, and neither is Chrissy. And, like, we've just seen, like, these interactions that he's able to make with people and make people feel super comfortable while also being, like, not a clown, but just, like, super interesting engaging with people.
And I feel like with Coach, Aubrey said Coach is running this tribe. And everybody's been okay with Coach. I mean, Jonathan's going to save Coach in the water earlier in the season. And Coach is realizing his limitations. I think that's the best part about Coach on this season, is he is realizing his limitations. I thought his emotional moment with the Zach Brown thing was actually really good. I like that he's now calling himself the Tidewalker. I like that he's doing this stuff. I mean, I'm always into Coach's goofiness. I loved Colby trying to keep a straight face, a straight face the entire time while Coach is talking to him. And you can see him just wanting to bust out laughing. I mean, like, wait, he's really taking this seriously. I need to keep it together. I love that.
It was so funny. Joe's like, yeah, cool. Colby's like, what are we doing here, brother? Like,
And then afterwards, so he says, it was an honor. And you know that really Colby's, the story producer had asked him that 14 times to get him to say, yeah, sure, it was an honor, whatever. Because you could tell that Colby was just, I'm getting knighted by coach. I don't know what's happening at this point. But I know that this wouldn't make any of the people who are complaining about the lack of female edit on this season happy. But Coach Colby... Coach Colby Joe Final Three is not the worst thing in my world. That's all I'm saying.
The one thing that happened with the secret scene, I was like, okay, secret scene. I saw on the Reddit, it was like, oh, Tiffany got some stuff. And I clicked the button to watch secret scene number whatever from episode 5. Joe starts talking and asks Coach a question. And I immediately clicked X. I was like, I'm watching this to get more from people I haven't seen. And I know there's a Tiffany confessional in there somewhere, but I was like, I don't want to hear more about like Joe talking to Coach of like, oh, tell us more about all those crazy stories you've had. It's like, not even this extra thing can be like, this is what we left on the floor. More stuff that you guys would have not cared about. And you're like, damn it.
Wait, but, you didn't care about the nicknames and stuff? Really? I loved it.
I thought it was great. Yeah.
The nicknames have to come back around of like, that's what made me think he was super loyal, or somebody didn't get a nickname, so they're going to flip. Because it's right now, I'm just like, I want to talk to all the, who's all the people that have a boomerang idol, and are they going to play it immediately at the final 17 slaughter of like, there's no way anybody with an idol should not play it next round because
yeah,
the storm is a-coming.
Just get it out. Like, if you're going to, if it's like what you're saying, Blake, and it's tribes of five, like, yeah, and a lot of people are going to know you have it anyway. Yeah, just, I would toss it at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, especially with the whole boomerang aspect of
yeah,
it, which I don't think Ozzy knows about or whatever, but like, especially with the whole boomerang aspect of it. Although I will say, Will was doing some serious snooping last night while we were on the podcast, and he was looking at the pictures. The two people he did not see were Ozzy and Rizzo. If Ozzy and Rizzo aren't there, Ozzy and Rizzo are the two people with the idols, or two of the three people with the idols. Now they're not even there, so they're going to get their idols into potentially Final 14. That's crazy.
Damn.
That's insane. That's yeah, such bad luck, because that's both of Genevieve's, like, tickets out. Like, what?
Yeah.
That doesn't yep, work at all for her. Also, what was Jeff doing at Tribal?
Trav Herra, theory, Jeff rewatched 44 and liked Danny's Robert De Niro impression and thought he started needing to do impressions as well.
I liked it.
Impressions.
What?
I liked him. Jake, you liked
him? I thought they were good. I thought they were good. I want to see Jeff do it some more, you know?
It's not rap. Not, he can do impersonations, just don't rap.
I would rather the impersonations than the rap.
Yes.
Like, I don't mind Jeff being a little bit cheesy. You know what I mean? Like, It, when the chicken and waffles thing, I wasn't a big fan of that. But, you know, he brings out, like, the popcorn in Survivor 46. I kind of like that. Like, I didn't mind that, you know, the first time. Then it kind of became a little bit
the Twizzlers, point. And you're like, all right, dude, you're in.
Yeah, it's account, like, what the fucking Twizzlers for?
Now he's the Tidewalker.
Rome, come sit over on my seat. Do it for
me. I didn't mind that either. That was hilarious.
Because he was in on the joke that Rome was going home.
Yeah, but wasn't it good, though?
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I like Cheeky Jeff.
Not rapping Jeff, though. Rapping Jeff sucks.
The rapping Jeff, it happened. You know what I mean? You know, he's taking risks. You know what? If we don't get rapping Jeff, we don't get Rome sit in my seat. You know what I mean? We don't get the popcorn, man. You know?
Well, Blake's coming in here trying to be like, you know, that typical internet guy who says everything.
Wow.
Yeah. Everything.
I'm atypical.
Everything fun is stinky. That's what Blake is trying to say here.
Here's what I'm trying to say about, I think, the meta of new era tribal councils. We went through, what is the craziest analogy I can say? And that hit critical mass with Steven last season of, I'm like a shin walking around coffee tables all day. I keep saying it wrong on purpose. I don't want to say the right one. And it's like, analogies have been around forever. And it's like, now it's popcorn moments, or even Michaela was drinking her water a certain way when she voted someone out and was like sipping the tea, and you're like, okay, we've had those moments. if people start doing impersonations instead of just being themselves, I think that is another layer of like, why don't we just have our cast of our favorite people just do the favorite people shit instead of thinking they need to go above and beyond and be extra of like, even last night, whenever I didn't know Ozzy was such a prissy posse pants. And you're like, okay, so I expect that kind of thing for like, I'm dissing a 5-year-old, but Ozzy's like a 30 some or 40 something year old man who has sex with porn stars. Like he's cool as hell. He's cool as hell. Why are you going to say this about him, dude?
Bad. Like now Jake just X'd out. Look what you,
what?
Yeah. Jake's gone. No, I'm just kidding. Jake, what's up?
Oh shit. I was like, no, what? No. I think, you know what? And here's why I will defend Jeff on this is I think something that, you know, we see, we come into tribal, everyone's so serious. Everyone's got their cards close to their chest. Right. I think if Jeff can come in and break the ice early, that's where people can make mistakes and I think create a more interesting tribal. I'd like to go back and watch like these tribals where Jeff does things like that and see if they're better tribals overall. Because, you know, you do have those tribals where everyone goes cod super close to the chest. They're not getting anything and it's boring. You know, we don't learn anything new. We don't really get the side eyes of people saying, are they talking about me? You know, I think this kind of behavior from Jeff would facilitate better tribals overall, as corny as some people may find it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah. I'm ready for Jeff. Yeah, I'm ready for Jeff to do some other stuff too. Like I think I'm there are some things I would love. So
yeah, I'm fine with the impersonations. The rap was dumb. The impersonations, I'm fine because it is he's interacting more with the cast. The rap feels like he's trying to do it for himself. This felt like he was with the cast. So I'm okay with that. And they all know each other. And yeah, it does let their guard down. Didn't lead to a better tribal because Angelina was going home 4-1 no matter what, but whatever. They were enjoying it. They were having fun with it. And that's really what all you can ask for at that point. When Angelina's about to go home and we're all going to be sad. What else from this episode or with the episode coming up? Is there anything else that you guys that we didn't touch on that is like in your minds that you want to make sure we get to?
Hold up. Let me look at my notes. I wrote down notes.
Okay, good. Because I did a whole podcast last night. So I don't remember what we said here, what we said there. You know, I want to make sure everybody gets what they want.
Ceri and Rizzo got married. Is it Rizzo Fields or Ceri God?
No, it's Riz God Fields and Ceri God Fields now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good for her.
HB, man. What the hell did he do?
Oh yeah, hopefully that's allowed in Fiji because I don't think that's allowed in America, but get it an old maybe. I think it is interesting the one layer of Rizzo's game that maybe gets overshadowed by he's Gen Z, he's doing stuff, he's calling himself God. I think he has an unbelievable what his superpower is everyone, whether it's underestimating me or didn't really enjoy me at first, like to have Ceri go from, I don't really like this guy and he's got a weird nickname to like, I'm going to tell him about my secret thing after I just said, you're supposed to keep your guns in this game secret and put away and don't tell anybody about your advantages or votes or idols. And then she immediately right after gets done saying that says, hey, we're together till the end. And I think that's something where, whether you're reading into what Jeff says, I like that the through line of thought here. And Rizzo is the last uncertainty, and Jeff's like, embrace the uncertainty. So like, instead of Ceri going, this is an easy vote, let's just get Rizzo out and reset. Because Ceri should go home here, and nobody even thought about voting her out. And D should go home here. Nobody even thought about voting out D. And Jonathan should maybe go out here because we're about to merge probably at 17. No, we're not. Like, that's why Jonathan's still around. But it's something where it's like Rizzo should be an easy boot, but he flipped Colby. He flipped Ceri. He flipped D. What's cool is Camilla was like, I know Kyle did not say that.
Yeah.
You're stupid, but this, like, it's so funny of we got our Camilla moment at least. I thought we weren't going to get a moment with her before she got voted out because it doesn't feel like Camilla's making to Final Five just based on it would have been we would have heard from her more because she is such a great person to talk to in confessionals. But when she was like, I know that's not true, but like, I'm not going to go with those other guys. So like, here we go.
Yeah. The first time I ever met Bruce, I was like, yo, I had DM'd Jake once. He said like, you know, Bruce, that's the guy, you know, that's, it's like that was such a easy, obvious, everybody's told this story and it's a lie before, you know, to try to get in with somebody like, no, yeah, I'm friends with Jeff Probst. Like, yeah, I've met Jeff twice, but I'll pretend I'm friends with him. Like, that's what this was. And I mean, good on Camilla for reading through it. I think Rizzo, we were talking about this last night, and Jake, I'll ask you this. Can Rizzo win this season?
It would have to be people who are, I think there's always a difficulty coming in, like, especially as the youngest person on the cast, like it's the Spencer Bledsoe kind of thing, mm-hmm. where I think he would have to be next to two people who were really a mess. Because, like, even though Colby might like Rizzo, I think it's going to be a tough time to see, like, a Colby choose to give him the money in the end. You know what I mean? Just based on his demeanor. I mean, I think he can. If it was a fans versus favorites, I would put Rizzo at a much higher rate of ability to win. But it would have to be people really messing up. I think people don't necessarily – and people can respect Rizzo's game, but also be like, I'm not giving the money to this kid.
Yeah.
You know? And I think especially where the cast skews older, I think we may end up running into that if he happens to be sitting in the final.
He would have to play so good.
He would have to play
so many amazing things that you just can't deny him. And he'd have to be able to sit next to people that, you know, aren't this legendary status. Like, I think he has to go to an all-new era final for him to win. And it has to be against, like, new era people that – don't like that people weren't just so in love with ahead of time. Like Jonathan, probably he can beat. Joey can probably beat. I think he could beat Emily, although Emily's game is probably impressing more people. But like, I don't think he can beat Genevieve if he goes to the end against Genevieve. I don't know if he can beat Camilla if he goes to the end against Camilla. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's the age thing comes in. And then also like Rizzo, I think, is he 25 or 26? Like, I think when Rizzo speaks, like, I think he's like, he feels like he's 22, 23.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he feels younger than he actually is, too. So I don't think that helps him. I think there's worlds where he can win, but I think, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle.
Because I think the closer we get to the end, when we're talking about this stuff Cinco de Mayo time, I think it'll be like, oh, the votes at Final Six and Final Five and then votes to win the show. I think the thought process of, this person's never going to play again, so they deserve a spot in the final three. This person's never going to play again, so they deserve my vote to win because there won't be another chance for Sari, Colby, Stephanie, like Chrissy, like that older thing. I think that could come into play and be an actual storyline.
I don't think there's a world where Sari sits in the final three and doesn't win.
Right.
It's like the Oscars. Right. It's like you keep not giving it to the people. You keep giving it to the people who don't deserve it. And then eventually you end up having to give like the makeup award way later down the line where all of a sudden this person now wins for something they don't deserve, but they should have won it 15 times. And now you just have the new young person who maybe has to work their way in. And it's like you're giving the respect vote. That's why this person's going to win. And I'm not saying that these people wouldn't play better games, but it is like, you know, that, you know, If Sari is sitting next to Rizzo, there's no way Rizzo can beat Sari. There's no way. And the same thing with Colby. I'm sorry. Like, Colby doesn't have to play a great game. There's enough people still left in the game that Colby will get votes from those people who will just value what Colby brings, whether to the game or to life, over Rizzo. And I just think that that's what he's up against in a different way than some of the other players.
Is Colby a that's actually really interesting. I like that you brought that up. Colby versus Rizzo. Let's say it's a final two. Do we think – I think that's a world where Rizzo could potentially
– well, sure. Coach, Jonathan, Joe, Stephanie, like all of those people are still in the game. I think Colby gets like – there's – I mean, that would put 15 of the people left. I think Colby could get like 6 or 7 of those votes easy.
I think he could get some votes, but I think if Colby isn't going to show himself to be a flexible player – I mean, we've never seen Colby to be a flexible player, you know? And if he doesn't show any of that capability to be flexible, I think you're going to have a tough time asking people like Camilla, like D, like Genevieve, like like Christian, Devins. I think you're going to have a hard time with them voting for Colby.
Yeah. I mean, but then you also have Aubrey who voted for Thunderwood to win. And
Devin's cool down episode too, where it was like, instead of him looking like an idiot, he was like, nice job, Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really good like way to take that.
Yeah.
Oh crap. That could have been me.
Yeah. Rick respects that stuff. Like Rick and Christian, I feel like will too, you know, I think some people are like, yeah, Stephanie's probably always going to vote for Colby if Colby's in the final three.
Ozzy's voting for Colby.
Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
Come on, Jake.
This is just a dream scenario. He's got to get there.
For a second on that,
he
all right?
voted for Sophie. Yeah. He's going to vote for Colby. Like, he doesn't care.
Colby's a three-vote finalist, you know?
I'm just saying, like, yeah, that is true. Yeah. But I'm just saying, I think it's just an uphill battle for Rizzo unless he sits next to the right people. And I think he's playing a really good game right now. And I think the move last night to be able to get through that without having to use his idol, create an alliance with two people who are absolutely bigger threats than you, and Camilla, who probably is being viewed as a bigger threat than you. Yeah. I mean, I think Rizzo's playing an excellent game. It's just going to be a matter of how does he navigate and does he ever get to use the idol? Because I think on this season, you have to use the idol to take out a big player in order to get the votes at the end.
Plus,
and with Camilla D and Suri, now he's going to have inroads with original green and original orange. It's such a good move for him.
That is true. The biggest problem he's at is if this is his closest allies and he goes to a final three, he can't win because maybe he could beat Camilla, but I don't think he can beat D, who's going to the end again as a two-time winner that I think people would be impressed with. And Suri, you can't beat Suri. So that's the hardest part for him. He has to have his other avenues, which I think he has. Genevieve gave him an idol. Colby had obviously bonded with him in some way. He has ways to go, but Rizzo and Treventus here. Will Rizzo and Charlie come back as captains on season 52, just like Boston Rob and Russell Hantz did? Yeah, no.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Unfortunately,
we need drop the five, keep the one. We're going back to the 20s.
CBS is going to drop mad money on getting the licensing rights to Bad Blood.
Yeah.
Say that in every single commercial leading up to the season.
That would be amazing. Well,
if there was a Survivor Bad Blood season and it was two tribes of nine and it was the biggest rivalries ever, who would your bad blood person go on that you would go on with, Jake?
Who's my bad? I mean, like, that I would, for me? Or, like, who would I pick?
From your 45.
From my you season, get cast.
Jake's on one tribe.
Production would probably end up having me and Katara just based on, you know, the final five vote. You know, that's probably what they would do. But, I mean, you could also do Drew as well. We had that argument, you know? But it probably end up being Katara.
Yeah. I think you're probably
Katara,
right.
Get ready. Bad Blood 52 versus
No. She's great. No, there's no doubt.
I love that we're actually going to get names back just to call it Bad Blood. We're now in our Swift era of Survivor.
You know what I'd like to see? If they were going to do a Bad Blood season, take two rivalries and do it like Edge of Extinction, where you put the rivalries on the same tribe and give the newbies a shot because the rivals would just like, we just got to cut each other.
Yeah. That's always better. I mean, that would always be better. That would be fun.
It would make an interesting early season, pre-merge at least. And then, you know, hopefully there's not a domination of returning players.
Yeah.
Like, at least you're a viewer. I'm assuming I'm not on that season. If I am, I want to dominate that season.
You wanted 10-0 at the end there. Who cares?
I wonder how many seasons of fan versus favorites could they do before a fan finally won?
Oh, the next season they did it, a fan would win.
Let's do it then.
100%. I really believe that because I think the fans are at the point where they don't idolize the players anymore. They just don't. I mean, like, I'm going to I'll go to the Ron Clark event on Wednesday, which, by the way, I have some insider knowledge that Bryce and Wen are looking at Miami and Las Vegas for anybody who's wondering. Coming soon. Keep an eye out on their stuff. Miami, finally. But I'm going to that event. And if you go to that event, like the fans will swarm the players. It's not like an in awe thing. It's like, I want to meet you, but I just feel like it's not the same. I think people might be a little starstruck by some of your older school players, but I feel like now it's so easy to interact with the players. It's so easy to meet the players. It's not like back when they did this during 16, especially, but even during 26, where, you know, to meet these players, you had to you know, go to a casting call or do something like that. Nowadays, it's like, hey, do you live near some sort of big city? Great. Yeah, right. Someone's doing something.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think, you know, I mean, as we saw, like, even at the point of Edge of Extinction rolls around, none of them were super in awe of the returning players, I think, at that point, you know. But, yeah, I think it would be really – it would be a really good season to watch, a new fans versus favorites.
Yeah, I think that would be amazing. I think it w- and I think you could get some really diehard fans who really understand the game so much better now. I mean, imagine Rizzo playing – Rizzo's essentially playing fans versus favorites right now. And guess what? He's doing a pretty damn good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if it would definitely have to be, like, not necessarily all new era players for the favorites, but, like, I think, you know, if it's new era players, you know, a lot of us are really online and, like, really in touch. And, like, if there are actual fans, yeah, there's going to be less reverence as it maybe it was back in 16 or 26.
Now, Jake, let me ask you this. Since you're online, I know you listen to all the podcasts. You listen to this podcast. You listen to a bunch. Fans versus favorites 3. Somehow I get cast on that. Everybody going to like me or hate me? Are they going to vote me out right away? Or are they going to want to work with me?
Ooh, what do you mean, the favorites?
Yeah.
I think people like you.
I didn't mean like that. I mean, would they play the game with me? That's what I'm asking.
I play the game with you. I think people would play the game with you because you know what? And I've said this, and please don't take this the wrong way. I've told people this. No. This isn't bad. In my opinion, you're the Stephen A. Smith of Survivor podcasting.
Oh, no.
And I don't mean in a way that you're wrong, but you take
I like this
versus a lot of people in Survivor podcasting go, well, you know, this could be good, but, you know, if you look at it this way, this could also be good too. You know what I mean? You make hard positions and you stick by them. And I think that makes you really engaging in why people like you, you know, to watch you.
Jake just set me up for the easiest blindside he'll ever have in his life. Now I'm like, yeah, me and Jake are going to the final three. As soon as I see him on the island, I'm like, great, we're going. And Jake,
nah, dude, we're good. If you're on the fans tribe, we're in, dude. We're good.
I can
we're
hear good. Jake's confessional as soon as the merge hits. I remember this Stephen A. Smith speech I gave on his podcast. He thinks he's good. He's so screwed. I love that.
This is why people, and I've told other people this. Have I ever said this to you? Have I ever made this comparison to you?
I don't know, but Blake can't handle that you're praising.
It's good. It's good. It's good.
No, but like seriously, you get a lot of podcasts. Not that, you know, other podcasts are great, but like you have some hard in the sand takes, and I think they're good, and that's why you're engaging, you know. And whether you're right or wrong, I mean, I think you're more right often than not, but you know, whether you're right or wrong, you have a take, and it's not, well, you know, this or that. And I think people get sick of that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. Now, what about Blake? Would you play with Blake or would you just vote Blake?
No. Blake's coming to the final three with me.
There you go. Yeah. Blake, so we Blake have our final
he's
three.
He's going to sit in third place, and me and Phil will duke it out.
I mean, he already said he's the zero vote finalist.
Yeah, so just vote Blake, by all means, please.
And you know what?
Me and Phil will have an argument at Final Travel. It'll be great.
There you go.
We'll have fun. We'll have pizza. We'll have champagne.
Jersey versus Boston.
I'll have zero votes and zero knees left over after that first couple tries.
My favorite thing, too, is like Blake could be trying to undersell himself. I've known Blake long enough. He would flip on a switch one time, zero vote finalist. Done. One tantrum from Blake. That's it. He got a tantrum at me like 2 days ago. I was like, what the hell?
No. Phil called me. I called Phil when I thought I could talk. And then I was like, oh crap. He called me back. I got to answer the phone. I push answer on the phone and an 18 wheeler like comes into my lane and I go, oh shit. Like, and I was like, Phil, I almost died. And Phil's like, what does it have to do with me at all, brother?
Taking a take, man. I mean, I didn't know what it had to do with me.
It should happen. If it doesn't happen in the next 10 seasons, that'll be a bummer.
What was that?
If Fans vs. Favorites doesn't happen in the next 10 seasons, it'll be a bummer.
I totally agree. They're missing a great opportunity because the first time they had some good fans, the second time they didn't really have any good fans. This time, I think they could 10 to 10. I think that this could be like a blood versus water style season where the newbies are making as much of an impact as the Sierras, as the Haydens, as the Brad Culpeppers, as the John Codys. People forget John Cody, as the Vetuses. I think that there is a world where that is happening if they do an all returning, if they do a fans versus favorites, because you don't just have fans at this point. like, put Tegwith on the show. Tegwith knows everybody. And Tegwith is also somebody who, like, is a fan, but is a commentator on it. Blake got two thumbs down. Blake wants it to be him. Blake's tired of Tegwith getting Rolling Stone and Threads and all that.
Oh, my gosh. Like, hey, give Tegwith an Emmy. Why stop there? You know what I mean?
They got Asia.
Yeah, they did. No, that's
and with New Era casting, too, it's you could make from any New Era season, like, everyone going on there is a big fan for the most part. Like, who's really someone who's come on to Survivor in the last 10 seasons and just didn't really know anything? You know, yeah. I would say every New Era player probably knows more than half the fans, at least on Fans First Favorites too.
100%. I mean, Fans First Favorites won. They didn't even know what seasons things happened on. You know, like, they had no idea. Eric wins that challenge because Natalie Bolton was like, wait, there were more than three seasons of Survivor? Like, what are we talking about? I think they're missing a big opportunity. I think it would be a much more even playing field, and I think it would be great. And I think that also part of it back in the day was like, well, we want to really highlight these players. We want to give them a little bit more attention, meaning the returning players. It doesn't seem like they're as invested in that right now. Because even on this season, it feels like it's been pretty dominated by the old school, and by old school, I mean pre-40, with the exception really of Emily and Genevieve. And Q, but Q's gone.
So. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it would be good. And especially if, like, Jeff wants to do this whole thing, bring it to, like, families and stuff. There's something about, you know, kind of making it more accessible and, like, having fans go on. Like, ever since, you know, COVID, I do feel like there's been a resurgence in, you know, the fandom going online. And, like, so many big players we see are COVID fans. Kelly Nalbandian and Charlie Davis both come to mind here. You know, and I think the accessibility of the show by doing another Fans First Favorite season would just be really good to, I think, Jeff's overall mantra.
Agreed. I totally agree. And that's going to get some Gen Z interest because you can get some younger fans and some older fans. And I think it'd be perfect. Mm. God. All right. Anything
else? Don't fuck it up, CBS.
Yeah. Call them. I know. I don't think they only listen. I don't think they're listening this far. And we're an hour and 15 minutes. Maybe they listened at the beginning. That's why I can't say anything mean at the beginning, Blake. But I don't think they're this far in, but I hope it happens. I really do. I think it would be great. So
Stephanie made the merge.
Blake's doing his gross boys.
The merge is about to get gross.
Oh man. Stephanie LaGrossa. I will say this though, and we're gonna wrap this up. But I was thinking about this yesterday. And Jake, when did you start watching? Jake, what was your first season?
One World. I watched sparingly. Philippines.
How the hell are you still here?
Well, you know what? Even when Survivor's bad, it's still pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, it took me in. You know what I mean? I think I started watching like right after Colton left.
So when it got really bad for the rest of the season.
But you know what? I was young. I thought Kat looked really good. And, you know, I enjoyed the game. I thought it was fun. I was rooting for Troy Zan. I liked Jay. You know, and I didn't know what good Survivor was. So I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. You know, yeah. I think when you compare it to other seasons, yeah, it's going to be worse. But, like, it's not that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
it's amazing.
Well, my point was going to be, though, is like, you know, for the people who have been watching for so long, like getting to episode 6, having Colby, having Genevieve, having Stephanie, Ozzy, Sari, having Christian, having Devins, and then looking at the New Era, having Emily still in, having D still in, like these are bigger players. You really, like, if you would have told me I was going to go 5 episodes and I was still going to have all those players in, I wouldn't be mad about how this season has gone so far. And so I'm into this season. I'm liking where it's at. And, you know, we still don't know what's going to happen moving forward here, but I said that last night. I just want to bring it up again of like, I have so many people that I actually am so invested in from previous viewings that are still in the game that, you know, it would take 6 really bad votes in a row for everything to collapse on me and me to have like no interest. You know what I mean? And I feel like it's going so well right now.
Yeah. As bummed as I am about these boots, like this has been a good season, you know? And the only bad thing is that there's just too many people.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think 24 is just, that's why we're getting inconsistencies, major inconsistencies in the edit.
Major inconsistencies. I think the big thing here is we have 35 and 34 for Ozzy and Christian. And I know that they've gone to every tribal, but Tiff has 2. That's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, legit.
Someone brought up like the whole like Christian shitting himself, and I'm like, kind of like, yeah, did we need that? You know what I mean? Like, did we need that?
Oh, I loved it.
It was, I mean, it was funny, right? But like, wouldn't you rather? I would have rather heard from Tiff. You know?
You know why I liked it? Because
it actually
It actually played into that episode, though. Like, because then at the end, when he falls down, him being a buffoon played into why him and Devins were able to hide the idol so easily. That's why I liked that one.
I get that, but I feel like Christian could have got away with it, you know, without the whole, hey, let's spend 3 minutes talking about how he shit himself. Like, I don't feel like it was necessary to set that up.
Let me
take our audience somewhere real quick.
Okay.
Imagine being a player on Survivor 50 and you're talking to a confessional story producer and you're giving a confessional about what this means to you. There's been hardship in your family since the last time you played. We closed down COVID. It's been frustrating. I want to prove to myself and my family that I am just as much as a superstar as I can be. 13 people probably did that, and none of it has aired, but Christian shitting himself did air.
It had a point.
And I
know it had a point doesn't mean it was that good of a point.
Can I also say, though, like, okay, so this is my lowbrow family. My family has brought up that moment every time I've talked to them about Survivor so far. And that was, what, 3 episodes ago now? Every time I talk to them, like, oh, yeah, once he shit his pants, that was the funniest thing. Unfortunately, Jake, my type of humor is people pooping their pants. Do you ever watch Idiocracy?
Yeah, no, and I'm not saying like I don't like that kind of humor. I'm not shitting on that humor, no pun intended. Hey. But it's
so easy.
I don't want to miss out for it. You know what I mean? Not that I don't think it's funny. It was funny. You know what I mean? I'm not going to say it's not. But, like, did we need the whole diatribe of, like, Ozzy and Christian being pissed at each other? Like, that went on.
No, that we didn't need.
What, 8 minutes? We could have gotten 2 minutes on that and would have been fine.
The only reason I think that would have been focused on, and we don't know the full story yet. Sure. All I can think is that's being focused on because that pays off in a big way later. And that's why they're making it such a focal point. If it doesn't pay off later, why did we just spend so much time doing that instead of what Blake started the podcast with before Jake even said hello, which is Angelina getting no content.
The only way Christian shitting himself makes sense is if he does it again.
The rule of thirds. We have him pooping. We have Devin's farting. Rule of thirds.
I don't know, man. Like, I get, like, yeah, it was funny, but it's like, I don't know. I don't need that here. You know what I mean? I don't expect that from Survivor, and that's not, like, necessarily, like, I can go watch Family Guy. You know what I mean? And I will go watch Family Guy. But, like, I don't know, man. Like,
I'm trying to watch prestige reality television, brother.
Angelina not getting really that much at all this season. She's the best female character that we've had in the past, like, since who? You know what I mean? Like, since Suri?
Yeah.
I feel like there, you can drop females. She's like one of the best characters of all time.
Even. Yeah,
yeah, like, you drop female. Yeah, sure.
I think we had her top 10 before the season started.
And
yeah, it's like nothing, guys. Come on. Like we didn't have anything.
And yeah. I think to book in what I'm saying from the very beginning, no matter how many episodes we watch moving forward, I don't think the general fan base is going to go, it made sense and was the right decision to not get any female voices in the first 5 episodes based on like the story.
There's
that
a lot of female voices in the first 5 episodes though. I have to keep hammering this home.
Yeah.
There are like, it's not like not every woman is being invisible. And I think people are saying, well, on returning seasons, what always happens. I watched Troyzand get to the very end of Game Changers and not be on the season. I watched Ozzy the last time he played get 11 episodes. I'm just saying, I hate when it gets like, I just don't like when people say this always happens because it doesn't. This is unique to this season compared to some of the other returning player seasons that we've had. Yeah, Tony had a massive edit, but Tony went on one of the most insane runs and winners at war. They were always going to highlight that. Yeah. And there are women who are getting good edits on this season. Genevieve, Aubrey. I think that Emily for sure. I think that Ceree, yeah, you can't complain there, even though she's getting a little bit less than maybe you'd want.
Ceree seems low.
Yeah, but Ceree, I think, has the 8th most confessionals on the season out of 17.
Oh, shit, really?
Out of the people left in the game, yes. So, like, I just feel like – I feel like we want more, and I understand that frustration, but I just don't want it to be all. Because I listen really close. When people say it, I take it literally because I do think that when we speak too much in hyperbole, that's when we start getting like hateful and angry about things about the show that we don't need to be getting hateful and angry about. And if I'm Tiffany, if I'm Chrissy, I'm pissed off right now. If I'm Angelina, I'm pissed off right now. But like, I don't think Genevieve, Aubrey, Emily have anything to be mad about. I really don't. And I think they're getting kind of lumped in.
They don't.
Yeah. I think my last question, I think we're about to hit the headhunting part of Survivor 50. Who's the first person that gets eliminated where everyone goes, oh shit, we're playing for real now?
So who's the first big blindside, you're saying?
Who's the first, like, oh shit, you, like, whenever you're a World War II pilot, you got all these flags on the side of your plane of who you knocked out. This is an international show. It's a cartoon. It's pigs it's a cartoon. It's chickens or whatever. Daffy Duck would have Bugs Bunny on the side of his.
Right there.
So, who's the first one that you would put on your helmet as a helmet sticker if you went to the Ohio State University?
I feel like he needs to do a lot of work. I feel like he's going to be in a rough spot going to the merch. I think Christian, you know, is going to be a name that people talk about just because he's gone to every tribe he's been able to go to, and he's called every single vote that he's gone to, and people know about this too. You know, I don't think Cherie's going to be necessarily running back to be on board with him, and I think, you know, it's going to be a good notch, and he seems like a good notch in the belt to someone who wants to start off the merge strong. You know, that's how it feels like. Maybe he comes back in. I just don't see Christian with, like, is Christian going to be able to pull in Colby? Is he going to be able to pull in like Jonathan, Joe? Like, I don't know if he can do that. You know, well, I would see it happen.
I feel like Christian is going to be the person where the casual viewers are going to be absolutely floored how early he goes home. Because I thought he was going to win for a while, but now I can see that it's because he's going to tribal all the time. The people I have my eye on, Coach, Colby, Aubrey, they've all had a confessional in every episode. They haven't gone to tribal council yet, and that's what I'm looking at. But when I go and I look over here at Christian, yeah, he's been eating up a lot of screen time. I think the casuals are like, oh, he's going to get us through the story. Christian could finish 13th. Christian could go home this week. I wouldn't be shocked. Like, I feel like Christian's going to go out earlier than people maybe are thinking. And I think if Christian goes out before final 10, people in like the general community are going to be absolutely floored by that.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like a, you know, Rob Stock getting murdered in Game of Thrones, spoilers, but it's like, just cause he's been such the narrator of the season by far. He's the most confessionals right now. Right.
Yeah. Christian has only one more than Ozzy, but Ozzy had 19 in the first episode. And that's why Ozzy's up there. Ozzy had 19 in the first episode. Right now, Emily has the third most on the season, and she has 19. Crazy. Crazy. So that's also where I think that some of this is really skewed, because if Ozzy had like three confessionals in the first episode, he'd be sitting way back down there with everybody else. He just had a massive first episode.
Yeah.
This is fun. Anyway.
I'd like to see Christian do better than 13th. I would like to see him go farther.
Who are you? I know you said Emily and D. If it's not Emily and D, who's the person that you don't have the real bond with? Who are you pulling for?
I really like Rick Devins. I've always kind of viewed myself as similar to Rick Devins. Rick is up there. I mean, it would have been, just honestly, would have been Angelina and Charlie would have been my next two people I rooted for before the season started. I don't think Camilla's going to do it, but like, I really like Camilla. It's unfortunate. I don't think she can do it just based on the edit, but I'd really like to see a Coach or Genevieve win as well. Both of those would make me very happy.
If Coach wins, is he on the Rushmore?
I don't think we have to worry about it. Don't worry.
I'm just saying, if Coach wins,
questions are only hypothetical, brother.
I just want to ask Jake.
If Coach wins, is he on the Mount Rushmore? So like, who we put on Mount Rushmore? Tony, Sandra, Boston, Robin, Parvati?
Yeah. Does he displace?
Like, you got it. Like, how do you not? You know what I mean? It's where he's Coach. You know.
Who does he displace?
I think he just, you know what, guys, we're going to six. We're adding a couple more presidents in here. We're adding Cherie and Coach are both going up there.
I feel like if Coach gets there as a second placer, as the biggest character ever, and then he wins, how do you not say that Coach is more impactful? Because that's like, when you look at that, it's winners, but it's also how impactful were they to the show? I'm just saying, Coach,
Coach should be up.
Coach can be the visitor center tour guide. Like,
who do you think is taking down? If Coach gets up there and Coach wins, Phil, who's coming down?
Parv.
You think Parv comes down?
100%. And all of her stands are now up there listening this far. Now they're not listening.
You're going to get murdered in your sleep tonight by someone.
I don't think the AU – figure it out. AU versus the world is what it is. People will try to say Parv's a two-time winner. She won the U.S. version once. The AU versus the world was a 14-player, 16-game season, like whatever. And I know people may go, well, what is the new era? Well, we all kind of view the new era a little bit less too. Like, sorry, like that's kind of how it is. I think that Parv would be the one who comes down because you got to keep Tony because he won twice. Anyone wins at war, anyone his first season. You got to keep Sandra because she won twice. You got to keep Austin Robb because even though he lost the first time, he's the biggest character in the history of the show. And what he did in All-Stars, even though he doesn't win, he gets to the end with his future wife. She wins. And then he comes back and wins again anyway. He's been on so many seasons. I think Coach is a bigger character than Parv. And Parv's first season is not – she's not that interesting. Sorry.
See, I don't think Coach can get on. I don't think Coach – if Coach wins, I don't think one of those four can come off.
But what if we took Parv off just to piss off everybody? Like, do you understand where I'm coming from on this now?
I like my life, Bill. I enjoy my life. And I have a really good spot in life. So I'm not looking to die anytime soon. You can do that. I'm not participating in that.
When I get to the Ron Clark event, I'm going to come walking out of that with two black eyes and a broken leg from people, Parv fans. It's, you know, they're going to come after.
But she also almost won Heroes vs. Villains, too. Like, she's very close to being a two-time winner.
Yeah, she's very close to being a winner, but then so is Coach.
But her runner-up game is better than Rob's.
Did you see what she did on Deal or No Deal Island 2?
I think Heroes vs. Villains Parv. Man, now we're going down a dark path. I think Heroes vs. Villains Parv game is so overrated. Russell saves her.
But better than Rob's? Like, Rob pissed off every single person there.
Yeah, but he still got the three votes at the end, and he kind of like remodeled what Survivor was going to be with that All-Star season. We didn't really know what they were going to play. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a huge Boston Rob fan either. Like, I think that, you know, I have Chris Doherty in my Mount Rushmore. Like, what are we talking about?
You know I'm a big Chris Doherty fan.
I know you do.
Don't start with this.
I could go one podcast without hearing about someone from Vanuatu. It'd be
I know. Blake gets mad because it's not about him. Anyway. Wait, what did you ask there,
James? Where's Amy on 50?
Bring Rory.
Where's Amy?
Yeah. Amy.
One thing I heard that every single person on Vanuatu goes by a name that's five letters or less. And I was like, bring that back. That's fucking sick.
I knew that. And we're two online, guys.
That is two online. Two online.
I knew that.
These are three dudes that could be on Survivor five letters or less.
Have you been playing Survivor Wordle, Jake?
No. Why was this? It's been Wordle, but Survivor stuff.
Yeah. It's been very interesting. It's a website. It's very fun. So if you want to be two online, go play Survivor Wordle.
Yeah, I'm not leaving anytime soon. I might try it out.
Okay. It's worth it. It's actually really fun. It's a different person each time. And it's good. It's good. All right. Anyway, where are we? We're out of here. Blake's got to go watch Texas lose to Purdue. They're already down one. They'll never come back from that. Jake, this was a pleasure, man. This was a lot of fun. I'm glad that we had you on. I'm glad we were able to make this work out. I'm glad you were here. Yeah. Anything you want to say before we let you go?
Nah, thanks for having me on. I always love coming on here. You guys run a great show. Way to be Stephen A. Smith, Phil.
Thanks, man. I will go and now contemplate that for the rest of the night. Whether
I don't mean that as a compliment. Seriously, I mean that as a compliment.
Look, I like Stephen A. Smith too, but now I think Stephen A. Smith sometimes just says things to say things. I'm trying not to do that.
I don't think you do that.
Yeah. Like when I'm saying that Parv could come off the Rushmore, like I mean that. And then you got Blake over here trying to say that Michael Jefferson is on his Rushmore. Like, what are we doing?
No, it's the ideal starting guest for Survivor Duel.
Okay, we're out of here. Thank you all so much for listening. I got Caleb from season 45 on Sunday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. So make sure you all tune in for that one. Another Emily and D love fest going on here. So that'll be a lot of fun. Otherwise, next week, Blake and Will holding down the fort for the triple boot.
No way.
I'll be at Ron Clark.
No way that happens to me.
Yeah, your life doesn't get any worse than this. Become a patron, patreon.com/specialist. We started Worlds Apart today. So life is good. We're into a very underrated season. Don't care what anybody says. So
I agree with that.
Thank you all. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.